Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon this morning is that gospel lesson that we heard from Matthew chapter 18. And I know this is a really long reading, so for our sermon today, we're actually only going to focus on the first five verses of our text, because in those first five verses, Jesus' words give us the framework then for how to understand the very rest of the reading that follows. So hear again what Jesus says. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Brothers and sisters in Jesus, you know, why is it that we have such a need to be great? Have you ever really thought about that? To consider why it is that we put so much effort into being better than the next guy. What's so great about being great? I've spent a lot of different time this week at a number of different sports games. And what you see in the kids sometimes, in the parents, in the fans, is a desire to win. And that can be a good thing. Now, in sports, we know that this teaches hard work. It teaches determination, cooperation, all of those things. But just as easily, like all other good things, our sinful nature can corrupt that into something else. I've seen kids become puffed up with pride. And it doesn't just need to be sports. It could be music. It could be anything. I've seen parents overcome with this irate anger over a call. I've seen people's worth determined by their success, either by their own expectation or by the expectation of another. Like all things, it can become corrupt. All of this is simply to say, when it comes to being great, we do a pretty good job of striving for it. Now, this just doesn't happen in the walls of our schools or our businesses, in competition, in the marketplace. It happens here sometimes, sadly, in God's house too. People who may find themselves casting a judgmental look on the person who doesn't have an offering to give has fallen to spiritual pride. Somebody who shares something in Bible class and you think, you know, oh my goodness, thank God, I think I'm not like that. I don't have that struggle. You've considered yourself great. And it isn't just a personal problem either. Sometimes as congregations, as churches in America, we can find ourselves catering to a certain group of people instead of another. We expect maybe sometimes people who come to worship to act like us and look like us. Do we expect our style of worship to meet our needs rather than the needs of those who may be new to the faith? All of these questions drive at the heart of a selfishness, of a pride that goes beyond any one person, any one church, and shows us the root of our sinful nature. Just as the disciples struggled with greatness, we too play that greatness game. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, before we go any further, I actually am going to need our kids to come up for our children's message right now. So this is a little different, I know, but I want you guys to come on forward here. Come on up. All right. I'm going to have you guys do something a little bit different since we're doing all kinds of things different today. We're going to have you guys, rather than sit down here like we normally do, can I have you guys just for a minute stand right up here? I want all the adults to be able to see you guys. Come on up here. All right. You guys can step right up here. Perfect. All right. So I have a question for you guys. I know Christmas is still a little ways off, but what's your favorite thing about Christmas? I see that look. What's your favorite thing about Christmas? Do you guys have a favorite thing about Christmas, or do you just like it all? You can say presents if you want. Well, I know, whether or not it's your favorite thing, when I was probably about your age, my favorite thing was the presents. I got to be honest. Because I loved getting to spend time with the family. I loved getting to do that. But there was something about having all those things under the tree and getting to unwrap them. And it's like, oh my gosh, that was a cool remote control car or like a remote control monster truck that would run all over all the other cars. There was something really cool about getting presents. You got Lego Dimensions for the PlayStation? Cool. For PlayStation 3, okay. Cool. When I was growing up, PlayStation 1 was just barely a thing. So, but the reason I ask you guys this, now, I want to ask you another question. Why do you guys get presents at Christmas? Why do your parents, why does your family give you presents? You guys can have a seat. I'm keeping you guys standing too long. Have a seat here. Why do you guys get presents? Any idea? I'm putting you guys on the spot, aren't I? Well, let me help you out here. One of the reasons I know as a family that we give presents is because we love one another, right? If you give somebody a present, it's because you love them, right? And that's what our parents do for us. They give us presents because they love us. They take care of us because they love us. Do any of you guys have a job? Any of you guys, do you have a newspaper job?
No, I work at a horse stable.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you've got a job already. All right. Well, this, I wasn't sure how many kids we'd have and what their ages would be. So, but the, what, most of your stuff, does it come from your job or from your parents?
Parents.
What do they give you? What's one of the things your parents does your parents do for you? Do they help cook a meal? Do you get, no? Do they pay for dinner when you go out to a drive-thru? Or at the sports game? Well, usually, I was gonna say, at least in my experience, parents do that. The house we have, the bed we have, all of those things are gifts from our parents because they love us. And then they know that we need them, right? So as children, we have that great blessing of receiving gifts because people love us. The reason I bring this up is because that's what Jesus is going to tell us in our gospel lesson that we heard. And that's actually one of the reasons I had you guys start by standing up. It was because Jesus used kids like you guys as an example to teach us adults what it's like to live as God's children. Because you guys know what it's like to be able to get gifts and to receive love. And it's pretty exciting thing when you get to receive a gift, right? Yeah. And sometimes as adults, we forget that spiritually, we don't have anything to give God. And we try to be so great and so big and so powerful that we give God something rather than letting us receive from God what he's giving to us. So you guys, actually, while this is a children's message for you guys, this is also a message for the adults, because we all get to be reminded of what Jesus is telling us today. So I want you guys to fold your hands. We're going to bow our heads, and we're going to do a repeat after me prayer, reminding us of God's love and the gracious gifts he gives us. So let's repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me.
Thank you so much for forgiving me.
Help me always
to remember, no matter how old I get,
what it is like to receive gifts from you. Especially the greatest gift of all, Jesus our Savior. In his name, amen.
All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. But before you do, just like Jesus' gift of forgiveness, as you guys know, we have a gift of free candy that you guys can go grab a piece of before you go back to your seats. So the basket is right over there. So. Now, I know this is a little bit different to interrupt our adult message with a children's message, but really this is what Jesus was illustrating for the disciples that day. He took that child that day, set the child in the midst of all these disciples, all these adults who were so consumed with greatness, and flipped their understanding on its head. He said, it doesn't matter about greatness. You're asking the wrong question. Instead, the question that we should ask, the thing that we should be thinking about, is what it is to be children, to realize our need for a Savior, and to come before our God and receive His gifts. Really, the teaching this morning from Jesus is quite simple. Don't worry about greatness. In fact, repent and turn from it. As ones who are called to be a part of God's kingdom, we are to be children. Children whose need is noted, whose dependence is declared. Now the problem is, that's a hard calling, because it seems that as we grow up, we seem to want to have something that we can offer back to God. It can be in big ways, it can be in small ways. We get so consumed in our everyday world of having to work and to earn and to strive that carries over into our spiritual lives. But all of you are here today knowing that you are God's children, knowing that you have been forgiven and loved. There's a lot to repent of, but I want to tell you this. Here is the good news. In the midst of our struggles with greatness, in the midst of our pride, in the midst of our self-reliance, God is a God who gives. As St. Augustine once said, our God is always more ready to give than we are to receive. We have a God who is more willing to show mercy than we are to be delivered from misery. We have a Father who even gives His Son on a cross so that we can be His children. I once heard a story about a kid who decided that he had had enough of being a kid, and he wanted to be a grown-up, and he wanted to take care of himself, so he decided he was gonna run away to the tree fort in the backyard. And so out the door he goes, he grabs all his stuff in his backpack, and he climbs up that tree fort, and he says, I am not coming back to that house. And these very wise set of parents saw this as an opportunity to teach about love, about grace, about undeserved kindness, about what true love really is. So that night, they knew it was a safe area, so he could be fine sleeping out there in the tree fort, but the next morning came, and there was breakfast set out on the front porch. Child ate the breakfast and still didn't seem to want to come in. So they tried again. It was dinner time or lunchtime, and they brought out lunch. Soon, about supper time, child began to realize, hey, the clothes I'm wearing, I guess Mom and Dad gave me those. The breakfast I'm getting, Mom and Dad gave me those. I told them off. I said I didn't want to have anything to do with them. But they kept loving me. They kept giving. And that child came back to that house for dinner that night, sat down at the table, and was filled with joy, knowing the gifts he'd received, knowing the blessing of being a child and that family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, not only do we have all of our physical and spiritual, our physical and earthly blessings, but we also have those spiritual blessings from our Savior. We have an unconditional love, a God of grace and mercy, who even when we would turn our back on our Father, would always turn toward us. We rejoice in that gift, this care for the little ones is what Jesus is talking about. This care for the little ones shows itself as we then turn and care for those in their time of need. The rest of the reading, we said, would be framed by what we are talking about. Realizing our need, receiving our Savior's love, frees us then so that we too may meet others' needs and supply them with the grace we ourselves have received. We stay them from stumbling into unbelief. When people go astray, we seek them out and bring them back as our Father has done for us. Even when a brother sins against us and our pride and anger could come into full play, we too care for that child so that their sin may not lead them to fall away, but we bring them back with the forgiveness we ourselves have experienced in this God's family of faith. We live forever as a beloved child of God because God gave His Son for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray then that that peace of God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, would guard and keep each one of your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.